I think this will also be a really good show because it'll be the first one where I'm having brekkie on screen as well.
That is terrible radio. Someone chewing on, what are you eating?
Croissant and fried eggs.
Croissant and fried eggs. How very continental of you.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be talking when I'm chewing, so.
So we're not going to have chewing, but we're going to have clanking and clinking of cutlery. Welcome to A Different Corner, a fantasy football podcast. Now, it's been a long time since we've been here. Our winter break went a bit longer than we'd hoped, but that's life. But we're back, and I'm, of course, joined by Dr. Lumen Ali, who has been distant from me from this podcast, distant from me geographically, distant from me this week because you're going away soon, Lumen, and distant from me, importantly, in fantasy football. Lumen, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Really good. Good to see you. Good to be back. It's been a very interesting time the last few months in fantasy football, where between the time we last spoke to now, I hadn't dropped off badly. It's just in all my leagues, people caught up. And in the last few weeks, you know, I've managed to get back on it somehow, some way. And yeah. So can't complain, mate. Things are looking good.
I feel like I caught up a little bit. And during Christmas, during those 2 weeks, there was no Premier League football over January. I just dropped off. My interest in football just went away because there was no Premier League to follow. I wasn't following the cups. Arsenal got knocked out. So I was just like, well, I'm just going to do life. And that meant and had a huge, huge knock-on effect to my fantasy football because I just didn't keep up with who's injured, who's fit, who's available, who's playing who. I've just been completely out of it. That sounds like a huge excuse, which I'm currently standing by because I've dropped off massively. But this sort of break, this intermission in the podcast reminded me of those really unnecessary skits that suddenly appeared in hip hop tracks in the late 90s and early 2000s. I don't know if you remember them, but there was one by the artist Noriega, N-O-R-E, in his track Nothing, which just randomly has this comedian pushing Noriega in his, I don't know, limousine or something, and then inhaling his inhaler, and he goes, Noriega, didn't know I had asthma. Oh, there's my baby mama over there. There's my baby peaches. And then he just randomly starts catcalling women in the street, which wouldn't be allowed in 2024, of course. But I remember the word datalalicious, datalalicious. Any hip hop fans from early 2000s will know what I'm talking about. Fancy football fans generally may not be. But yeah, a random unnecessary break in our podcast. But we are back.
Do you think Eddie Griffin's interlude was unnecessary on Chronic 2000?
Now, oh, I should know. No, that was enough. See, there's good intermissions and there's just unnecessary.
It wasn't politically correct then. It's not politically correct now.
But you can search out on Spotify, yeah, or wherever you hear your stream your music. My favorite one, was from a Biggie album. I think it was Ready to Die. And he has this, his answer machine message. And he just has random women, one of them being Lil Kim. And all of them like, daddy, why are you not calling me? You saying it wasn't good? And it's just all of that tone until Lil Kim comes on or someone comes on and says, yeah, mother... It's Stephanie. I've been waiting outside for your ass.
They used to do interludes before the even damn song.
These hip hop albums were part music and part just comedy or unnecessary. I don't know. Just every hip hop artist of that era had one. I don't know if they do it anymore. And that shows you how much up to date on current music I am. But yeah, it was a good time. Good time. But yeah. This podcast has basically been like a long intermission we've had. But we are back. We can now I don't really want to do this bit, but talk about our points for this game week. We are in what even game week? So this is how bad I am. What game week are we in now? Game week 26. I did terribly, like really bad. I did a minus four to be able to shoehorn in. I don't know. Who did I try to get? I got Trossard in and I wanted to get in Dominic Solanke. And neither worked out for me. Trossard got me 1 point and Solanke got me 2 points. And my total was a measly 51 points. And that's so bad because it's compounded because all of my rivals did so much better. I think everyone was in the 70s close to me. I think, well, you tell me what you got then, Lumen.
I got 65, and that's without doing any transfers.
Oh, that's very good.
I did not do any transfers. Actually, sorry, I tell a lie. It was the previous week that there were no transfers. This week, my two transfers were Maguire in and one guy who I'm telling you I've cursed him. Like, he just doesn't perform when I put him in my team. Is that Korean guy?
The Korean guy
was like the most. He was the most transferred in player, but he was an epic flop. And when you see some of the returns that some of the other midfielders got, Havertz, you know, Douglas Luiz and my guy, Jared Bowen. We'll talk all about him later. But yeah, so 65, can't complain, so yeah.
Let me go through my points very quickly. Who got me points? Dan Burn managed to get an assist, got me 4, which is something. Nathan Ake got a clean sheet. Saka, who I've been reliant on for the last few weeks, got me 10. One thing I did do well was I captained well, I suppose, with Ollie Watkins, and he saved me something with 18 points because he was my captain. Haaland got me an assist. Otherwise, twos and ones everywhere. And I was a bit gutted, actually, because I thought a goal and an assist from Ollie Watkins should have meant 3-point bonus. I got 0 bonus. 0 bonus. Unbelievable. I appreciate Douglas Luiz got the bonus points there, but I thought at least 2, but nothing for Ollie Watkins, which would have given me something else. But a measly 51. I'm not doing well. And this follows as well weeks of just poor performances, really, because the week before, I should mention, I triple captained and I triple captained Erling Haaland. I've wasted it. One goal in 2 games from Erling Haaland on a double game week. Terrible. I've just been doing badly. Pants few weeks.
Oh, man. I'm glad you mentioned that triple captain, because I cannot tell you how interesting it was last week where everybody triple captained him. I was the only person that I know of. I mean, every single person in every league triple captain him. I didn't triple captain him. And what's interesting is, even though I captained him, I was rooting for him to fail.
Of course you were going to. Because now, where does that put you? Obviously, everyone else got that 30 points, which is terrible from a triple captain. But now, do you feel like you've got sort of like a... Well, you've got an extra chip, but you're almost checkmating everyone because you know you can use it on the next double game week for whoever that may be. I don't even know if there's many coming up, but I imagine Liverpool have got one because they didn't have a fixture this week, so they've probably got one, and that is prime Salah use of chip, surely. So how do you feel having that extra weapon that almost, well, no one in your leagues does?
I feel like, you know, I'm going to a chippy tea with my chips and just eating good. I just need to make sure that they pay off because, you know, right now it's just a case of I should be further ahead, but what's killing me is the captaincy choices, like the captain. And when I'm brave, it doesn't pay off. And when I'm not brave, it doesn't pay off. So I need the captaincy choices to pay off for me sooner rather than later. But what was fascinating this week, absolutely fascinating this week, was the amount of goals scored by defenders. So this week we had Chris Richards, for Crystal Palace. He scored and got a clean sheet. Right. Calvin Bassey, he scored, no clean sheet. We got Dunk, Lewis Dunk of Brighton. He scored as well. And then there were two other players that scored. Neither of them kept clean sheets. Mm-hmm. Jaron mm-hmm. Branthwaite and Harry Maguire, both of whom are in my team. So that was a very big bonus for me. Apart from that, Saka continued to perform for me. Foden continued to perform for me. And the usual Watkins and Haaland. But it's the differentials that did it for me this week. And I'm back to a respectable 70,000 now.
Respectable 70,000 out of 10 million players. It's still. How's your mate doing, who was like 150th or something like that?
I was just about to mention him. He had the worst game week ever this week. He got 40 points, right? Terrible, right? And the week before, you know,
oh gosh,
he got 80. So in game week 24, he got up to 97 in the world.
Wow. Gosh.
97. After that, he's gone from he's gone down to 254. And now he's on 1,094, courtesy of a couple of not great weeks.
Goodness. Okay.
But yeah.
Still unbelievable. We're now back as a podcast, but also who else is back? Is Jared Bowen. Is he back? That's what I want to ask, because we're recording this the day after he scores a hat trick. After, well, you know, for his standards this season, Jared Bowen's last few months have been bad. I'm looking back since game week 20, we're now in 26, he has blanked every week. And then all of a sudden, a hat trick yesterday. Is Jared Bowen back? You were a big fan of his. You had him right at the start of the season and you were reaping the rewards. Is he coming back to your team?
Possibly. Now, what it is, I did the old, you know what, this guy's been golden for me. He'll stay golden. But in the end, I just saw, you know what, I have to do something here. And it's part of the reason why I started climbing back up again is by dropping him and getting in players who are more productive, like Diogo Jota. I think people weren't paying close attention to West Ham. I think if you look at West Ham and their declining form, you can see the importance now of one player who came back yesterday. Mm. And that's Lucas Paqueta.
Ah.
He's been out of the team for a couple of months and you can see the impact on the team. He is a massive player for them. But he makes that team tick. And on that basis, I mean, Jared Bowen's price has dropped a fair bit. Mm. I was stuck. I mean, I needed to find a player to replace Diogo Jota for this game week. And I went with the Korean guy because I thought he's at home. But the Korean guy could score 10 goals every game for the rest of this season and I still wouldn't have him. He's just...
Are you getting rid already? We're talking about Hwang at Wolves here, aren't we?
He's just not for me. Like, he might be for other people, but he's just not for me. I mean, at home, oh God, I don't know what to... He was the guy I was leaning on. He was the guy I was leaning on to just get me something, and he didn't, so...
Yeah, I mean, In his defence, Hwang at Wolves has been almost a striker for them. He has blanked the last two. Before that, he was at the Asia Cup. And then before that, you know, he was in some form. He scored against Everton, against Brentford. He is a spotty player, but for a player who's just about, 5.6 million, that's kind of what you're going to get, I think. And then if it's a midfielder essentially playing as a striker, I think it's worth it. But he's out of your team straight away. Is that what you're saying to me?
I'm saying to all the parents out there who'll understand what I'm going to say, for this spotty player goes back in the spotty bag. If you know, then you know.
Moving towards a different midfielder, we have got to talk about Bukayo Saka and his form, Lumen. Three double-digit returns in the last three games, then a 9, and then a 10 before that. The guy is on fire right now for Arsenal, and his form has coincided with Arsenal just being excellent the last few weeks. You've got him in. Is there any way that you can have a fantasy football team without him in right now?
Before we talk about fantasy football and before we talk about Saka, I want to talk about Arsenal fans and their crappy analysis. All I've heard for months and months and months is we need a striker. And I was saying, you didn't have a striker last year and you scored freely. And it was like, oh no, they scored. We had three midfielders, scored 15 goals. You can't expect them to do the same. And I was like, okay, forget 15. Even 7 or 8 will help. And sure enough, that's what's happening. It's just in the first half of the season, the midfielders weren't putting their chances away. Now they are.
Yeah.
Where's all the striker talk now? I don't hear Tony's name.
Yeah.
I don't hear loads of names. So, you know, very fickle this whole thing is. But yeah, Saka is essential.
He is essential. He is goal scoring. I was going to say assisting, but actually he's not assisting at all. He is just scoring lots of goals at the minute. Interestingly, he's not finishing matches. He is playing 75, 68, 66, 78. He's not finished a 90 for a long time. So I think
as far as fantasy football is concerned, it's 60 minutes. That's it.
Yeah, once he gets past that mark, yeah, to be fair. And to be fair, if Arsenal were drawing or losing, he's going the whole 90, basically. Yeah.
Certainly. Is there anything more painful than a team keeping a clean sheet and a player getting subbed in the 58th, 59th minute?
I know.
It's happened to me before.
What do you make of Arsenal, the title race, just while we're here? Arsenal have been the form team the last, you know, few months or few weeks, a month and a bit, maybe. Yeah. Before that was Liverpool. We're all, you know, Man City have now got their two big guys back. I mean, where are you seeing it? But Liverpool are right in there. And since our last one, Klopp has announced he's retiring. Is that the extra urgency they need to actually go and grab this title?
I think if we break down each team, Liverpool, what's going to kill Liverpool is the injuries and the Europa League. You know, sooner or later it catches up with you. Europa League, there's just, you know, the travelling, Thursday, Sunday, it's going to catch up to us. Even players who don't play, even if you rest teams, you know, that, let's say, for example, you've got Mo Salah and he's not travelling, you know. He's travelling, but he's not playing. That travel alone kills all of these players. It messes around with body clocks, all of this kind of stuff. And, you know, I've been saying it all season, teams that are in the Europa League, their league performance suffers. And, you know, we've got lucky because our youngsters and our reserves have dug deep and just got us out of holes, but it can't carry on like this forever. So I think we'll fall short because of that. Arsenal, if you asked me a couple of months ago, I would have said they've got no chance. I still think, you know, they'll fall short. I can't get over how they collapsed last season. The thing about Man City is they're not as good as last season, but they're still in it, which shows how good they are and how the rest haven't taken advantage.
Man City, I mean, talking about fantasy football terms, my question is, what do you do with Haaland? We know he's the most expensive player in the game. We know what he's capable of doing. But the last few weeks, he's had some chances and you're like, wow, how is that not hitting the net? Like, missed, for his standards, fairly badly. Is there even a question mark when we get Salah back in on full 90s again, when Son is back in, which we know Son and Spurs are going to come back again. Well, I think so anyway. And then you've got De Bruyne, you could spend some money on your defence maybe. Is there a world where you could maybe think, actually, I'm only getting maybe a goal from Haaland where I could get double digits elsewhere?
I think you're going to be very brave, like our pal Will Weston was, to drop Haaland and reap the rewards. Yeah. I think the question about Haaland is still the same as it always is, which is, you know, you've got to be prepared to miss out certain weeks when he pulls it out the bag. But yeah, of course there's an argument. I mean, you just got to look at Mr. Will Weston. I mean, the guy, in fact, do you know what's ironic about Will Weston? What's really ironic? He got to 97th in the world without Haaland.
Wow, there you go.
He's dropped in the last 2 weeks since he brought Haaland back in.
Wow.
That's how he's dropped.
Well, there's the correlation, isn't there? There is a correlation there. Potentially a fancy football team without Haaland. It sounds strange to say because it sounds counterintuitive, but you spend a lot of money and you have to sacrifice players elsewhere. But from Haaland to Hoyland, Lumen, Man United all of a sudden came into quite a bit of form over the time that we were away. Then somehow fought at home to Fulham. 2-1. Fulham were good, though, I've got to say, from looking at the highlights. But it couldn't help but think Man United without Hoyland and they lose. What do you think about Hoyland as a £7.2 million striker? Obviously, he didn't play against Fulham, but before that, 2 goals. Then 1 goal, then 1 goal. He scored 6 games running. And then he had a blank, and then he scored before that. So out of 8 game weeks, he scored 7 times. That is pretty impressive. And also, now that he's found his groove, you know, should he be going in teams at that price range?
A lot of teams should consider him. If we start on the basis that Haaland and Watkins are almost automatic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got a choice of the following. Hoyland, Tony, Solanke. Mm-hmm. Some people have got Julian Alvarez in there, right? Mm-hmm. So from my perspective, I didn't really miss out that badly because Tony got me some points. Not as many as Hoyland, but he still got me some points. But Hoyland is definitely one to consider, especially if you want to do what I did, which is get Maguire in just to jinx them because they were getting above their station. So I needed to jinx them. And what happened? They lost.
That was a perfect result for you. Maguire goal, but a Man United defeat. But Hoyland is injured. It says on the game, he's expected back middle of March. And, you know, Man United, they've got City next. So I'm not really looking at any Man United. But after that, they're not looking that bad. Everton at home, Sheffield United at home, Brentford away, Chelsea away. That's not bad fixtures for United. But I just think they're going to be without Hoyland, and I don't know if he's that huge a significant player for their style or anything, but I just think without that focal point, I imagine they're going to be losing quite a few games in the next few weeks. I think, anyway.
I'll tell you what I want to know, and I've been wanting to know this. There's quite a few teams that got Dominic Solanke in this week, right? Now, I know what's happening week after next. Everyone knows it's not. It's an open secret, right? It's a double game week, right? And I'd be surprised he's not in every single team around the world, right?
Of course, yeah.
And his price is going to increase. What I want to know is why people got him in this week against City, which is not an easy game. So what's the thinking behind that?
So I got him in. I was mulling it over because it was a -4. It was a last minute call from me, and I just, the thinking was, Man City have been conceding goals, so it's not like they are proper solid at the back. They're playing away, so Bournemouth were at home, and Dominic Solanke is very good, actually. So he was worth it. He was worth the shot, and he was pretty unlucky. I think it was one very, very good Edison save he made from him, from a header. And I thought, you know, he's worth it. It's a tricky one against Man City, of course, but he was good for it, I think. And yeah, I was looking ahead. Burnley away next, Sheffield United at home, Luton at home next. And that's the double game week, Sheffield United and Luton. On the game, you know, they've got their difficulty ratings. He's got the green 2 for the next 2, 4, 6, 7 games. So he's a kind of a long-term investment. That was my thinking behind it anyway.
Here's a question for you. Who would you go for? Solanke away to Burnley or Tony at home to Chelsea?
Wow. I would go Solanke away to Burnley. Two reasons. Burnley are terrible this season. I think they are going down for sure with Sheffield United. And the second reason is Bournemouth, which we've not spoken about. But in the time that we did our last pod and to now, somehow Bournemouth have clawed, not even clawed, they've just gone about their business putting results together. Quite a few draws in the last few results, but they have been putting wins together. And I've been pretty impressed with how they've managed to get themselves out of that bottom three. They're now 14th, which is still, you know, not great. They are on 28 points. Luton are 20 points and they're at 18th. So they've got an 8-point gap. And yeah, I've just been quite impressed with the way Bournemouth have gone about, you know, getting themselves out of trouble, basically.
What, here's another one for you. Would you bring Kai Havertz in your team?
I wouldn't. No, I'm an Arsenal fan. Kai is just so, he's not a guarantee, right? He's just not a guarantee. He has moments like he did at the weekend, but he just, yeah, there's something about him I wouldn't be able to say yes. The thing is, the thing he has going for him more than Trossard, for example, but I put Trossard in, is he's got this physical presence, which Mikel likes when he plays a team against Newcastle. If nothing else, he just takes up this space and this, he's a big body. And so it's interesting that he prefers him sometimes, a lot of the time in these sorts of games, to someone like Trossard, who's technically better, more consistent. Yeah, I'm not sure about a Kai. I'm not sure about a Kai.
I know one thing, and I know one thing very clearly. You're going to wild card, and you're going to do a wild card to bring Mo Salah in. I know it's obvious. It's so obvious.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course, of course. I'm a huge Mo Salah fan, especially in fantasy football terms. It's a no-brainer. Kevin De Bruyne I've had here, and he's done nothing since he's come back. Nothing. I've had 2 zeros, a 2, a 4, and a 5 from him. I thought, oh, you know, I'm able to get something while Salah's just coming back. No, basically. So yeah, he's certainly coming in.
Let me hit you up with a fact. The top player in fantasy football this year is Watkins on 170, Saka on 169, Salah 167. So he's 3 points off the top place and he's missed all those games. Yeah, but who else are you going to get in it? What about Son?
Provided. Then I'm struggling because I've got a very cheap defence generally already. I've got a fairly budget-ish midfield. There's probably one or two I could get rid of to get go even cheaper. And actually, my guys are back. Now, when I talk about my guys, so Anthony Gordon came into a bit of form again, but I love the Wolves guys. I love Neto. I do like Hwang. Sarabia Wolves actually does something as well. So there's these kind of really, really budget players who I could still spend some money on, so that's not a problem for me.
I think De Bruyne is massively overvalued. Massively. He's not worth it. And I'm not just saying, I'm looking at, you know, previous seasons, right? In the last two seasons, he got 183 points and 196 points, right? Which, very good points totals. But in both those seasons, he started at 12 million. If you compare that to Mo Salah, who's getting you at least 50 more points every year, right? It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. He's just I think what would be a fair price range for De Bruyne is the same one that you've got for Son, which is between 9 and 10 million. Like, De Bruyne is, like, stupidly priced. Whoever's coming up with those prices, I don't know what they're doing. But, yeah, nah. I wasn't even tempted by De Bruyne because, you know, he came off the bench, I think, and he killed it, and everyone like, yeah, gotta get him in. But, you know, it's definitely not for me.
I want you to do a quick who am I game, okay, Lumen? Who am I? There's not many clues on this one. There's not many clues for this one. Who am I? I am under 6 million. I've got 9 goals and 4 assists. And I scored 14 points this game week.
Douglas Luiz.
My guy, how is he just... Yes, you're right. Douglas Luiz. How has he managed to do this season? 9 goals. That is really impressive, I thought, from midfield for Aston Villa.
It's
5.6 million.
And when you see the teams that have had him this week, when you see the teams that have had him in this week, you just think, oh, that Korean guy has absolutely ruined my week, honestly, because I thought he's going to do something at home and he didn't. And, you know, it was like, you know, bullseye all over again. What could you have won? If you look at the team of the week this week, right, it's midfielders with big returns.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Team of the week, Bowen 20, Luiz 15, Havertz 14, Jordan Ayew 13, Leon Bailey 12. You know,
considering Huang is the same price as Luiz, it's kind of would have thought a no-brainer because Luiz has been so good. 9 goals. I didn't realize that. It just came out of nowhere for me. And then finally, before we look ahead to next week's fixtures, this is, of course, a George Michael crossover fantasy football podcast. In the spirit of running with this theme, this feature is called I'm Your Man. I'm going to give you 2 players. You have to tell me which one you would have in your team based on the next few fixtures as well. Just bear that in mind, okay? The first one is Ollie Watkins versus Dominic Solanke.
Oh, I'm gonna say both because I'm gonna.
If you could only have one,
Solanke, double game week.
Solanke, just for the next few fixtures. Yeah. But you're right. Both is a good shout and it's probably a sensible thing to do. The next one, Pascal Gross, Brighton, or Ross Barkley at Luton, who has been tearing it up and somehow apparently been linked to a move to Man United, apparently.
Gross, definitely, because I don't have him and I regret not having him. Again, another guy I should have considered instead of that Korean guy. Gross. Definitely gross.
And then lastly, it was a quick one, Jared Bowen or Phil Foden.
Oh, that's a tricky one. I've got Foden. I don't have Bowen. Yikes. Oh, God, you're putting me on the spot here. I genuinely don't know, but I'm going to go with Bowen because of the fixture list.
Very good. Very good. Okay. And talking of fixtures, so next week's fixtures, game week 27, any standout fixtures? We got the Manchester Derby. Surely that's a free for all. We talked about Haaland not being in any teams. I'm captaining him, but I would have thought that's going to be a popular move.
There's only one fixture that stands out for me, and that's Monday night, Sheffield United, Arsenal. One team in the worst form, one team in the best form. You've got to have 3 Arsenal players in. You have to have 3 Arsenal players in.
But this is Barclays. This is Barclays, isn't it? You know, it's an upset on the cards. Sheffield United up north, cold Monday night in March.
It's going to be a walkover. If Arsenal don't score at least 5 goals, I'll be shocked. I mean, considering, you know.
So a Saka captaincy?
Again, it's what I said to you before, you know, I've been stung badly when I've with captaincy. When I've been brave, it's not worked out. When I've not been brave, it's not worked out. So I think that run will continue.
Liverpool away to Forest is also tasty. Mo Salah. Spurs are at home to Crystal Palace. That one is... let me see. What? I mean, we've not heard anything from Son.
Yeah. Also, Crystal Palace, new manager last week, 3-0. So I would be very cautious about going against them. But yeah, some tough games. Luton Villa is a tough game.
Yeah, Luton Villa. There's some tight ones, actually. Everton, West Ham. I can see a lot of draws this week. But yeah, let's leave it there, Lumen. It's been good to be back, my friend. It's good to be back. But you are going away. You've got an international break yourself now, haven't you?
I do, regrettably, in some sense, because I would have loved to have caught up next Tuesday. In fact, might be able to. Who knows? I might turn into Pitbull and become Mr. International.
Mr. International.
It could happen.
Very good. Very good. All right. Well, on that note, Lumen, good luck for game week 27. Of course, I don't mean it. But yeah, I'll have a good trip, my friend, and I'll see you on the other side.
I am looking forward on, what day is it? Saturday. The deadline is 1:30, 2:30 in the afternoon, seeing your wild card. I cannot wait.